It was amazing. First of all, these were some of the best singers in the state of Michigan, so it sounded incredible, but it was amazing to conduct them, to be the person who went, you know what? There's a vacuum here as far as leadership goes. I'm going to step in. And I wasn't thinking of this consciously, of course, but I decided I was going to step in and do it and just go, okay, let me just conduct. Hi, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast, where we interview cutting-edge creative artists, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are changing the world. We also bring you tips and techniques that you can implement. This episode is brought to you by my favorite productivity hack, the Brain FM app, this podcast's hosts, Podbean, as well as my book, Speak From Within. And to support you in achieving mastery of the concepts in this week's episode, you can download the free confidence-building tip sheet so you can discover the secrets to unlock your inner leader. You can find the link in the show notes. Hey there, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for being here. I've had an amazing day, and this is a special bonus episode. I'm actually not sure when this is airing because I might just put it in on a random Wednesday. And the reason is because something happened today that I was just flabbergasted that I'd forgotten about myself. And that is what it means to be a leader, particularly when you have no idea what you're doing, or at least when you're really nervous or scared about leading, and when it's really not up to you to lead, but you take the reins anyway. And here's what I mean by that. Many years ago, I was auditioning for the Michigan State Honors Choir. Now, here's what's important about that. I auditioned as a 15-year-old, as a sophomore, and sophomores generally didn't make it in. You had to be somebody they really liked in order to get in. And here are the circumstances under which things happened. Shortly before auditions, I got really sick and I lost my speaking voice, could not say a word. I sounded something like this. I'm trying to talk. It was that bad. I couldn't make myself understood at all when I tried to speak. The weird thing was when I had to sing, I sang pretty well. Somehow I'd maintained my singing voice, even though I had absolutely zero speaking voice. And what's interesting about that is that relatively recently, I was watching a documentary on Netflix all about music and singing, and they've done studies to show that our singing area of the brain is actually different than our speaking area of the brain. And in fact, there are people who are no longer verbal, who have various forms of dementia, Alzheimer's, things like that, who they cannot speak at all, but they can sing. And I've actually had that happen when the Philosopher's Stones, the holiday caroling group that I lead and manage, when we have done caroling at assisted living facilities and various other places, I've had people who are they're not verbal, they don't speak at all anymore, but when we come in and we sing, you know, deck the halls with boughs of holly, they join in, because that part of their brain is still awake and alive and is able to remember. And I have had the staff at these places go, I can't believe that just happened. She hasn't said a word in years. And here she was singing Deck the Halls or Jingle Bells or whatever it was we were singing. That's amazing. And I said, well, maybe you should sing to her and help her sing with you. And she went, I'm going to try it. And I actually would love to know if she ever actually did try, because wow, what an amazing thing. Anyway, the studies that they've done have indicated that singing and speaking sit in different areas of the brain. And it makes me think maybe there was some kind of physical thing that was also sitting in different parts. The part of my voice that needed to speak couldn't. The part of my voice that needed to sing did. So I was going to go in and I was going to audition, and I had, as I said, no speaking voice. And we're all sitting there and we're all waiting. The way they had it designed is all the young women were sitting in one room, all the sopranos and altos, but at that point they were all young women as far as we knew. All the young men, tenors and basses, were sitting in another room, and we were all going to be auditioning, singing various pieces, usually some sort of a spiritual, some sort of a religious piece. In this case, it was "I'm Gonna Sing When the Spirit Says Sing" and "Jubilate Deo." Those were the two that we were auditioning with. And everybody in the room, and there were, I don't know how many dozens of young women in that room, were all trying to sing, and nobody can hear themselves because it's a cacophony. We're all trying to practice all over the place. And I was 15 at the time, and I saw what was going on. I saw that it was just chaos and nobody was really able to be productive, that I sort of stood up and I did the what the conductor does. You know, I raised my hands and everybody looked at me. And I conducted us in singing, "I'm Gonna Sing When the Spirit Says Sing," and the "Jubilate Deo." And it was amazing. First of all, these were some of the best singers in the state of Michigan, so it sounded incredible. But it was amazing to conduct them, to be the person who went, you know what, there's a vacuum here as far as leadership goes. I'm gonna step in. And I wasn't thinking of this consciously, of course, but I decided I was gonna step in and do it and just go, okay, let me just conduct. And I knew how to conduct. Okay, so let me step back a second. Conducting is not an easy thing, and let me not make it seem like it's an easy thing. It's an incredibly difficult thing. But I had seen conductors, because I was also a violinist, I had seen conductors conduct the symphony that I played in, my high school orchestra, and of course, Mary Alice Powell, my choir director, in high school. I'd seen them all conduct. I'd seen what needs to happen when you are conducting. And I knew the songs backwards and forwards. I knew all the parts because that's how my brain learns music. I tend to learn all the parts. So I was able to conduct everybody and sort of, you know, notify each part, either altos or the sopranos or whatever, when they needed to come in and when they needed to stop. And I was able to do it. And afterwards, all the young women, they applauded. They applauded me for the conducting that I'd done. And I sort of half whispered, "Thank you." Because I, again, still couldn't talk. And one of the women came up to me and she said, "Oh, it's too bad you're graduating. It would have been great to have you next year." And I went, "Oh, I'm not graduating." And she said, "What?" And I said, "No, I'm 15. I'm a sophomore." And she's like, "You just did that and you're 15? Holy crap." And the reason was because that was unexpected to them. They all thought I was a senior, and it sort of ran through the entire room. She's only a sophomore. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. I saw that something needed to be done. I saw that somebody needed to do something because we weren't making any headway. And I went, this is something I can do. Even though I'm kind of scared, because who am I to sort of stand up there and go, you know what, let me do this. But I took it upon myself and it turned out really well. And so that kind of initiative, and I'm so grateful that I showed it then, and I got a real reminder of it today. That often it's necessary to take that initiative, and it's not about grandstanding and it's not about stealing the spotlight. Let me just dispel you of that. It's more seeing that something needs to happen in order for things to run more smoothly or to be more inspired or to have a team run better or to improve communication, whatever it is. I saw that it needed to happen and I did it back when I was 15, many, many years ago, as I said. And periodically at other times, I've done the same thing. One of the best examples of it in my life was directing my first play, was being the conductor long term, right? It was over weeks and months of preparing this play to put up a production. And I love directing theater is probably my favorite thing in the world to do, in part because you have to have a vision. You have to have sort of the process in your head, or written down, but I like to keep it in my head, of where the vision is, where you want things to go. And it can't be about you. It has to be about the group. It has to be about the thing that you want to have happen on behalf of the group. And interestingly, Emma Stone, in her Oscars acceptance speech, said something along those lines. She said she was really, really scared, and her director, she was having a panic attack, and her director said, "You have to take yourself out of it." And she went, "You know, it's true. I have to take myself out of it, because this isn't about me. It's about the team. It's about the group of people who got together to do this project, the whole of which is greater than the sum of its parts. And I just went, yes, that's exactly it. That is exactly what I think of when I think of leadership, is that you are working towards a goal, the whole of which is going to be greater than the sum of its parts. Because when people work together, they make magic. So that brings us to today. And I feel like I'm fired up. I'm super grateful to the various networking events I went to today. They were all virtual. They were all online. And I had the best time. I loved them. I enjoyed the heck out of the 11 a.m. networking event that I went to. Got to meet amazing people who are doing incredible things. And we're going to see about how we can collaborate together. And, you know, my mission is to help everybody get inspired through their own creativity. And again, create something the whole of which is greater than the sum of its parts. And the second networking event I went to was a webinar that was also a networking event for women in business in New York City, in New York State. And we got broken up into two separate working groups, if you will, breakout sessions. And after a keynote and then presentation and then question and answer, and then we got broken up into these smaller groups of like seven people or so. And we had 12 minutes to talk about ourselves and our businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And the first one, the first group I got into, and somebody sort of said, you know, Isolde, you look like you're about to lead this. And I went, okay. And I think it had something to do with my background. I'm in my podcast studio and it looks all official, I guess. Anyway, so the woman said, Isolde, you look like you're the one who's going to lead this. And I went, sure, why not? And I did it. I took it on. I led the group and kept everyone sort of on task, but also inspired and gave feedback and listened very actively, because I think one of the leader's primary jobs is to listen actively to their people. And the same goes for if you're a facilitator. If you're a facilitator, you're a leader of sorts. And so I did that and it went really well. And then we got broken up into the second breakout session. And I just sort of went, you know, I'm not going to wait. I hope it's okay. And I did it again. And I sort of took on the facilitator role. And when we talked about what it is we do, I also invited everybody in both breakout sessions. I said, you know, since this is a networking group, why don't we all in this group, in this breakout session, everybody put your name of your business, your website, and your LinkedIn profile in the chat so that we can all network with one another after this, right? I'd never met any of these people before. And if I didn't say something like that, probably wouldn't meet them again unless we happened to be at the same event. And now I have something like 14 or 15 new contacts. Why? Because I said, hey, let's build something together. We've just met and we're going to do something extra and let's see. And I have a whole bunch of new possible business, possible collaborations, possible all sorts of things, because I took that on, right? I took on the leadership and took on the facilitation. And my idea in this was to suggest that we figure out a way to stay in contact after today was over, because it's never just about today. It's about building a relationship that will last much longer than just the 2 hours we spent together today. Now, when I was 15, first of all, I had no voice. But second of all, I didn't know to say that. I didn't know to say to any of these other women, these other sopranos and altos, hey, we should all exchange phone numbers or something. In part because this was pre-internet, pre-cell phones. It was a very long time ago. So being in touch was not an easy thing. Now it's super easy. Hey, here's my LinkedIn profile. Here's my QR code. Here's my website. I'd love to have yours. Let's see how we can collaborate and support each other on our journeys. All of that can be done with the snap of a finger. So it's much, much easier to network today. It's much, much easier to build those relationships, to meet people. Now, it does take some doing. In other words, if you're naturally an introvert, you have to take care of yourself and you have to know when you've had enough networking and you have to step away. Got it. But I encourage you, regardless of that, to go, okay, when can I and how much time can I give to this process of meeting new people and figuring out who they are and letting them know a little bit about me, figuring out how we can support each other, connecting so that we can, for example, if someone is a graphic designer and I've just met them and I know someone who needs a graphic designer, I can connect them. Now, I'm naturally a connecting personality. That's what I do. I'm a connector. And I love introducing people to one another. But at the same time, unless I know those people, unless I've gotten to know them and know what they do and know sort of the characteristics of their work, I can't recommend anybody to anybody. So you need to be curious. That's another facet of this, is get curious about the people you are in the same room with. Figure out who they are. Ask them questions. Yes, that's my favorite thing, is to ask questions. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you know that one of my favorite things to do is go into a place and ask questions. And there was one festival I was at many years ago where I decided I was going to run a little experiment and that I was not going to make statements at all. The only thing I was going to do is ask questions of everyone I met. Just get curious about who they were, about what they did, about what they loved, about what made them happy, about what drove them to get up every morning. I just asked a lot of questions, and I cannot tell you how many people at that festival told me what an amazing conversationalist I was. Now, the thing is, of course, I didn't really say anything except for to ask them questions about themselves. But, oh, I was such a great conversationalist, and according to them. And that's because, of course, I was really curious about them. And people, you know, if you go by Dale Carnegie, people love to talk about themselves. Not everyone does. Some people are shy. But on the whole, people enjoy the opportunity to talk about things they love, about things they do, about things that fascinate them. Give them the opportunity to do that, and most of the time, they will fulfill that. They will give you a little piece of themselves, a little piece of their history, a little piece of what drives them, a little piece of who they are, and I love that. So going back to today, that's kind of what I did. I took on, in the second group, I did the same thing. I asked everyone to introduce themselves. We had a question and answer about what resonated with us from the keynote speech. And so I sort of facilitated everybody going and then commented back to them. You know, that's one of the ways humans understand that someone's been listening, is that they reflect a little bit back, mirror a little bit back what they said. And so did that, sort of communication 101, and had a great time introducing people, getting people together, figuring out how I might be collaborating with some of these folks or bartering, things like that. It's going to be lovely. I'm very excited to work more with these people. And then again, I said, hey, leave your name, your LinkedIn, your website, etc. And one of the women that I interacted with, she left her LinkedIn and I connected, and she sent me a message as part of our LinkedIn interaction. And I'm going to read it to you because I'm not going to give her name. Jay. Her name starts with the letter J. And if you listen to this, Jay, thank you so much for sending this, because I thought it was a delight. And just so you remember, if you're listening to this, not necessarily Jay, but if you who are listening, what do I do? I do team building through self-expression. That's ultimately what I do, is I help people get creative inside themselves so that then they feel confident and free enough to collaborate with other people. I'm going to say that again. I help people get creative within themselves so that then they feel comfortable and confident and inspired to create and collaborate with other people. That's my favorite thing in the world. So this is what Jay said to me. Isolde, your talent in facilitating team building through expression was incredibly evident and impactful in our breakout room. The way you managed to keep everyone engaged and connected was nothing short of inspiring. Wow, right? Isn't that amazing? It's our talk about walking your talk. That was so lovely to read, because it's my goal. My goal is to help teams not only coalesce, but stay engaged and connected and get excited and inspired. And I always say that my work is about bringing teams from fractured to focused and from indifferent to inspired. That's my goal. That's my job. That's what I'm trying to do. And to have someone give me this beautiful sentiment was also nothing short of inspiring, because it does inspire me to keep going. It means that I am on the right track. And I have a full, rich, and wonderful life. I'm very grateful. And my creative life is also full, rich, and wonderful. And I love writing books. I love writing plays. I love performing. I love all of that. And this opportunity to help people who might want to be creative but are afraid, or people who are on a team who might want to contribute but don't have the confidence, people who want to be inspired but don't know how to get inspired, helping them get to that place, that's my catnip, right? That is the thing that makes me get out of bed when I have the opportunity to do that. It's brilliant. It's delightful. It's a delight to me is what it is ultimately. So I wanted to share this with you because I think the thing is that the kind of feedback you get when you're doing the thing that you're kind of meant to be doing, if you see what I mean, the feedback you're going to get is that. I'm going to say it again. When you're doing the thing you're meant to be doing, people will get it. They will get it and they will reflect it back to you. So important to remember that. And so if you feel dissatisfied, if you feel I'm not sure I'm on the right track, first of all, you know me, I can consult on that with you and help you course correct till you get to where you need to go. But also, you have to remember, you're going to get all sorts of reflection and response from that which is around you. And it's going to be incredibly helpful in you figuring out the path you need to walk. Okay. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I had the best time recording this, and I'm ridiculously excited to bring it to you. I think I'm just going to change my schedule around. I had another episode slated for this coming Monday, but I think I'm going to do it today. I think you're hearing this pretty much right after I recorded it. I'm very excited. All righty. As always, this show is brought to you by Brain FM, my favorite productivity app, Podbean, which is my podcast host, my book, Speak From Within. So if you have a public speaking phobia or aren't sure about how to get up there and do your thing, that book is just, it's going to help you. It's going to help you get to the place where you feel comfortable and confident and curious to get up there and see what you can do. So it's brought to you by those things. And I am Isolde Trachtenberg for the Creative Solutions Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the show if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2024. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope.